Gracious and holy God, startle us awake that we might be open and aware of the presence of your incomprehensible love that is always present to us. Amen. What is prayer? What is prayer? And does it work? What does work mean? I mean, there is the story of the guy who prayed every day to win the lottery. You know, I'm sure you've heard that one, days, weeks, months, year, and then finally got fed up and said, God, what's the deal? I'm a faithful person. I do the right thing. I'm asking for one little thing, and all of a sudden he hears this Charlton Heston-like voice booming from heaven. The least you could do is buy a ticket. I mean, prayer, what is prayer? How do you understand prayer? How do you practice prayer? Does prayer make any kind of difference in your life? All summer long, we've been exploring the movement from a secondhand religion, you know, that religion that we've received from other people, to a personal faith, a faith that we can claim for ourselves, a faith that we can give our heart to. And all summer long, we've emphasized what's really important in this movement, what's really important in this journey, are questions. So prayer. How has your concept of prayer changed in your life? I mean, how did you once understand prayer growing up as a child, and how do you understand prayer now? Has your concept of prayer changed? Has it deepened at all? You know, we Presbyterians don't talk about prayer very much, do we? It's sort of like when we're singing songs. I'd like everybody to go like this for a minute. Awesome. I just wanted to see if they worked. You know, they actually, I feel in myself, I felt some discomfort that, I'm talking about myself, I felt some discomfort. We were singing about raising holy hands. And I tried, but it's like, it just wouldn't move. And prayer, too, we Presbyterians, we don't talk about prayer. Do you want to know how to make a Presbyterian run really, really fast? Invite them to pray in public. They'll be running the other way very, very, very fast. Prayer. Many of us are uncomfortable with prayer. I have to admit, I've always felt for the longest time, well, I used to feel for the longest time, that I was a dismal failure at prayer. A pathetic, utter, totally, completely dismal failure. Spiritually inept. I mean, when I grew up, prayer, I was taught, the secondhand religion I received is that prayer is a conversation. Talking to God. A meaningful conversation, talking to God. A conversation you should be having several times a day. Well, I've never been really, really good. I know you'll find this extremely surprising. But I've never been really particularly good at doing the things traditional church has told me I should be good doing. You find that surprising? And prayer, prayer in the way that I was taught, didn't work for me. I know it works for a lot of people, and that's awesome. It didn't work for me. I never felt particularly close to God. And I always felt guilty. I mean, whenever anybody would say the word pray, I would feel incredibly guilty. Because I grew up, the idea of prayer was very quantifiable. You know, it was really about, you know, how many minutes of prayer did you pray today? For some people, it's how many hours of prayer did you spend today? I always felt those people were lying. But it was also, how often did you pray? How many times did you pray today? So in other words, it was quantifiable. As people would talk about prayer for me, it was always about how often and how much, and I wasn't doing it often enough, and I wasn't doing it right. Or at least that's how I felt. So I'd come to God, and I'd pray, Dear God, you may not remember me. Because it's been a long time. And I'm so sorry. I know I should be praying more often. I know I should be spending time with you more often. I'm so, so sorry. I promise I will do better. And I'd feel like such a disappointment to God. I would feel so spiritually inept. Now, when you're feeling that way, and you're feeling so far away from God, it's not exactly the best motivation to encourage you to pray more often. So I was feeling like I was this big disappointment to God, so last thing I wanted to do is to go into God's presence. So I just kind of avoided it, and it just this vicious cycle happened. Anybody relate to me at all here? It all changed when I read this little book about 25 years ago. A little book actually that was written in the 1600s, believe it or not. And it was written by a gentleman by the name of Brother Lawrence, a monk. And he wrote this book in the 1600s called Practicing, or The Practice of the Presence of God. Anybody read it? Wow. Highly recommend it. This book changed how I looked at prayer and completely changed my prayer life. Completely transformed my prayer life. Now, Brother Lawrence was a monk who lived in a monastery, and his primary duty in the monastery was in the kitchen, to cook and then to wash the pots and the pans. And now Brother Lawrence did all of the things that were expected him to do. He attended the set hours of prayer that they had each and every day. He followed all of the spiritual practices that were laid out for him. But he admitted, he said, I was never any good at it. And have you ever felt that way as you look at all of these spiritual giants around you? I'm not very good at this. And he said, not only am I not very good at it, all of these traditional things that work for some people don't work for me. I don't feel close to God in these set times. Instead, he said, I authentically praise God, pray to God, practice the presence of God, mostly in the kitchen rather than the sanctuary, making pancakes. And he said the monks were awfully fond of my pancakes. And then he wrote, there is no difference between business life and prayer life. That in the clutter and the clanging and the noise of my kitchen and in all of those voices that are asking for so many things, in that chaos, he said, I possess God with as great a tranquility as I do on my knees in the sanctuary. So Brother Lawrence helped me to realize that there's no distinction between sacred and secular. Brother Lawrence helped me to realize that we are able, if we're open to it, able to see God at all times, in all people, everywhere. Brother Lawrence helped me to realize that the struggle of the spiritual life, the struggle that I felt so much, the struggle isn't so much somehow to get the sacred, the holy, into my daily life, but to be awakened to the mystery that my daily life is sacred and holy. I don't see it always, but it's there. The mystery that we are on holy ground, not just in this place or other thin places, but in the kitchen, in the classroom, in the office, on the street, in the grocery store. The mystery that as we more and more and more and more open ourselves, make ourselves available to the God who is always available to us in every breath. Barbara Brown Taylor, another book I recommend. She wrote a beautiful book, a retired Episcopal priest who wrote a beautiful book called An Altar in the World. You know what she says? That thing there, that altar there, if you look, it's everywhere in the world. And she said the heart of prayer is to wake up. She said praying is waking up to God. She said, when I am alert, fully alert to whatever is in front of me, whoever is in front of me, when I am electrifyingly aware of the tremendous gift of being alive, when I'm able to fully give myself to the moment that I am in, then, she said, I am praying. I love that. Our scripture today from Ephesians, one of the translations, said, pray in the Spirit. Actually, rather than make it up, let me read it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with many different kinds of prayer. That was a novel concept to me when it was suggested to me. There are many different ways of praying. Many different ways of praying. One of the forms of prayer that is very important in this church is we have a prayer ministry. We have a prayer ministry, we have an important, vital prayer ministry. Every day there are dozens of people in this church, every single day, who are faithfully lifting your prayer requests and other people's prayer requests into God's heart. We would love everybody to be part of that prayer ministry. Absolutely everybody. Wouldn't it be amazing if hundreds of us, think about this for a second, if hundreds of us were focusing our energy and healing, loving energy on God's healing and loving energy into people's lives and into places in the world. Think about that. I don't know what happens when we pray. It's a mystery to me. I haven't a clue. I have no idea what happens when we pray for other people. Sometimes I'm stunned, startled by what does happen, and I go, wow, the more I know, the more I don't know. I do know there's this energy, there's this incredible energy that's beyond me that I don't understand, that sometimes when I participate in it, amazing things happen. But I don't know what happens when I pray. But do you know what I do know? When I pray for others, I change. I don't know about the others, but I change. When I join with God's compassion for others, my spirit is formed. When I think of Norway, it'd be so easy to just want to, I just can't deal with it. I can't handle it. It's too incomprehensible. When I take the time to feel that pain, to lift that pain into God's presence, into the healing light of God's love, I don't know what happens out there. I change. Every day, there's a list of folks. Many of you are on that list. I just spend time holding you in light, in love. I don't know what happens when I do that. I change. So I want to be clear that the prayer ministry of this church is vital. And here's the good news. Everyone's qualified. There's no special skills you need. You don't have to get the words right. Just the heart. Speak to Elizabeth Steffen, our care coordinator, if you want to be part of that. Today I want to talk about three, maybe four. We'll see how we go. Because I'm really moved by that sentence. Pray in the Spirit. What I hear in that is practice the presence of God. Awaken to the presence of God. Open yourself to the presence of God on all occasions, not just on Sunday morning. All the time, with many kinds of prayer, not just the traditional way of praying, not that there's anything wrong with that, but many different kinds of prayer. So I want to talk about a couple forms of prayer, expressions of prayer, that completely transform my prayer life, completely change my prayer life. I'm going to try to give a word to each that you might remember. And the first word is thanks. Kind of an obvious one. Thanks. 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 Gratitude. Thanksgiving. Meister Eckhart said the most important prayer in the whole world is thank you. Because it shifts your heart. It shifts your spirit. Spiritual formation is what you're about. Gratitude forms your spirit in a particular way. What have you heard me say a million times? A grateful heart is a peaceful heart, is a loving heart. It is. A grateful heart is a peaceful heart, is a loving heart. I want you to imagine your bedside table, and imagine there's two slips of paper on your bedside table, and each of the two slips of paper has a phrase. On one slip of paper it says, got to. You got to. The other slip of paper says, get to. So one of the slips of paper kind of expresses this sense of duty, this obligation, this responsibility, this heaviness, kind of going through the emotions, I got to do it. Maybe kind of detached even from doing it, but you're doing it. Maybe in a sense of resentment that you got to do it. The other piece of paper speaks. Take a breath for a second. Did you say thank you for that breath? Because the breath you just took is a miracle. This moment, right now, is a gift. We get to enjoy. We get to experience. We get to open ourselves to. I've shared with you before the story that is just formative for my spirituality and my life. When my kids were younger, much smaller. I was looking down rather than looking up, and I was changing the millionth diaper. And it was one of those diapers. And I remember, remember this as if it was yesterday. There was this feeling of this was not get to, this was I got to do this. And I was thinking to myself, is this phase ever going to end? And not really enjoying the role of fatherhood very much at that moment. And vividly remembering how detached I was from the moment. I mean, I was just going through the motions. It could have been a doll there. No, the doll wouldn't have smelled that bad. So I was detached from the moment. I was detached from my son. And that very afternoon, I visited a friend in the hospital who had breast cancer, who also had small children. I didn't tell her about my day. Do you know the first words out of her mouth? All I want to do is go home and change my baby's diaper. Prayer, Barbara Brown Taylor says, is to wake up. She woke me up. That every moment we have is a gift. And even that moment, believe it or not, even that moment is holy. It is sacred. If we have eyes to see it. If our hearts are open to it. It's amazing to me, the people who have the least advantage, the people who have the least things to be thankful for, haven't you noticed this? Tend to be the ones who are most aware of the blessings around them. And those who have the most advantage, those who probably have more blessings than they even are aware of, are the ones that tend to take it for granted and are blind to those blessings. Thanks. I encourage you to set your watch or your phone every hour. Just have it go ding. And when it goes ding, thanks. Thanks. Because thanks, living thanks, praying thanks, shifts your spirit. Changes the spirit in which you live. So it's interesting to me, pray in the spirit. Pray and practice the presence of God all times with many different kinds of prayers. So we have gratitude at this end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum is another very valuable prayer. Honesty. A prayer that I never was taught growing up is the prayer of lament and anger. The prayer of the honest heart. And just as gratitude, I think, is absolutely essential for our spiritual health and well-being, so is lament. So is anger. This is the prayer that screams. This is the prayer that sighs with words too deep. Sighs with sighs too deep for words. That's Romans. Romans something. It's Romans. This is the prayer. This is the prayer that, why? Why? This is the prayer that cusses. Now, I never would have imagined growing up that cussing was an important aspect to praying. I mean, I never would have thought growing up that you could swear to God. In fact, I would have thought if I swore to God, if I cussed, whatever that cuss is, gosh darn it, for some of us is about as far as we can go, but gosh darn it, whatever that cuss is, I would have just assumed that God's judgment would rain down upon me. I never would have fathomed to cuss. Until I experience, there are some times, not just the golf course, that's all that's there. That's all that's there. That's all that's there. That's all I have to offer. That's all I have to offer. And what I've experienced is, it's not judgment I receive, but mercy. But mercy. I think of the book of Job. Think of Job. Job, who experienced unspeakable loss in his life. Unspeakable loss. Job, all his friends gathered around trying to comfort him, saying the things that we say. We try to be helpful. We have the best intents. You know, it must be part of God's plan somehow. We perhaps have all said that. I'm sure we've heard it. Bildad, a friend of his, said, Job, your suffering must have done something wrong in your life, is why you suffer. And then Bildad says, ours is not to question why. Well, Job was going to question why. Job was angry and was going to rage at God, particularly chapter 27. Job says, forget that no questioning why stuff. In chapter 27, the Job say, God, you have treated me unfairly. And I'm giving you the censored version. Because lament is uncensored prayer, is what I'm trying to say. Now, it may come out as profanity, may come out as something else, but you're not censoring it. You're not trying to be nice. You're not trying to be polite. You're letting it out. Job says, God, you've treated me unfairly. And you would much rather have me tell you that you have treated me unfairly than for me to simply repeat the load of crap that Bildad has laid upon me. Look it up. Chapter 27 says that. We need to teach that kind of prayer. We need to teach that kind of prayer. The prayer that's honest. Because that kind of prayer doesn't push God away, doesn't offend God. It actually invites God into those raw places where we need God the most. You know, we have those rooms in our soul that where the door is locked and the shades are shut. Those are the rooms we most need to open the door and let the light in. And one of the ways we let the light in is by letting the anger out, the rage out. As Richard Rohr says, pain that is not transformed is transmitted. So God invites our rage, our anger, our lament, our cussing. Because the beautiful thing at the end of Job, Job finally says, after leaning into all of that pain, expressing all of that pain, all of that anger, all of that rage, Job says, "Wow, God, you were just an idea. I have now seen you face to face." That when we don't dare to open that door and go in that door, I think we discover that God is already there. And lastly, the prayer that has transformed my life more than any other expression of prayer is no prayer at all. Silence. Stillness. Be still. And know that I am God. Come and find the quiet center. Because what I realized that even in my praying, it was always about, I need to do better. I need to be more spiritual. I need to achieve this prayer thing more than I'm achieving this prayer thing. God, I need to prove to you that I am somehow worthy. And I would just continue to feel like an utter disappointment to God. Until I was taught that sometimes the best prayer is to just simply sit and rest and be still. And Howard Thurman says, in the quietness you can hear the whispers in your heart, whispering courage to your fear, strength to your weakness, hope to your despair. So I discovered that one of the best ways to pray is to let myself be loved. Is to sit, be still, and know that God loves me just as I am. We are invited to wake up, open our hearts to that love that is always everywhere. Open to us. So let's pray.